Lord, we pray that you will open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning and give us something fresh and new to take away, to be with us during this coming week. Amen. Please sit down. Many years ago, a man proudly showed a visitor around his garden. There were beautiful roses, fruit trees and colourful flower beds. But as they walked, the visitor noted lots of weeds growing among the flowers. "You have weeds everywhere," he said. The gardener smiled and replied, "Yes, but if I spend all my time staring at the weeds, I'll miss the flowers that are growing. My job is to keep cultivating the good. In time, the weeds will be dealt with." That simple wisdom reminds us of today's reading. We live in a world where beauty and brokenness grow side by side. Evil's not disappeared. Suffering is still real. And God's kingdom is not yet complete. But today's readings bring together two important truths about the Christian life. In Romans, Paul speaks of who we are. Children of God, led by the Spirit. Heirs with Christ, living in hope. In Matthew, Jesus tells us where we are, in a world where wheat and weeds grow together until the final harvest. And together, these readings answer two questions a lot of Christians ask. Firstly, how should we live in a world where evil still exists? And secondly, how do we keep hope where God's kingdom seems incomplete? Paul reminds us of our identity. Jesus reminds us of our perspective. Paul begins with strong words. "You are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, because we belong to the Spirit, not the flesh." Paul isn't talking merely about the body. By the flesh, he means life centered on ourselves, living as though God does not matter, pursuing our own identity. And that hymn we've just sung reminds us that we have to be wholly committed to the Lord. The Spirit calls us to something entirely different. Notice that Paul doesn't say Christians become perfect overnight. Instead, he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is a daily journey. Every day we choose forgiveness, or we should choose forgiveness instead of revenge, generosity instead of greed, truth instead of deception, love instead of fear. The Christian life isn't simply about avoiding sin. It's about allowing God's Spirit to shape us into people who resemble Christ. Perhaps the most beautiful words in today's reading are these: "You have received a spirit of adoption because we are God's beloved children." In the ancient world, and also today, adoption gives someone a completely new identity and inheritance. As I've probably said numerous times before, for about 14 years I worked in Croydon as a social worker, and I had the joy of placing generally babies with couples who were unable to have children naturally. That was often a joyful time. But there was another side to this, and that was working with the young mothers, and they were quite often young, sometimes young teenagers, who decided they wanted their child placed for adoption. And for me, this was the hard part, particularly if the natural mother wanted to meet the parents. And that, for me, was hard in terms of trying to get the balance right. The joy of the couple on one side, and the sorrow of the mother on the other side, who would probably be, for her, it would be the hardest day of her life. And she would live with that for the rest of her life. And Paul says this is exactly what God has done. We're not merely tolerated. We're not servants kept at a distance. We're sons and daughters. We can cry, "Abba, Father." Abba is the language of intimate trust, translated as daddy, that we can call our Heavenly Father, not in a disrespectful way, but in a loving way. The prayer Jesus used himself. And this changes everything. We don't obey God because we're frightened. We follow Christ because we know we are loved. Our identity comes before our activity. We serve because we already belong. But Paul is realistic. Being a Christian doesn't remove suffering. In fact, he says, if we suffer with Christ, we shall also be glorified with him. And this can surprise many people. Sometimes we imagine faith would solve every problem. And in my life, I wish it did. But it doesn't. Faithful people still become ill. We still lose loved ones. We still experience disappointment. We still ask difficult questions. Paul himself knew persecution, imprisonment, hardship, and finally death. Yet he declares that our recent sufferings can't compare to the glory that is coming. Christian hope is not optimism. Optimism says everything will probably work out in the end with a bit of luck and a following wind. Hope says that because Christ has risen, God will ultimately make all things new. Paul then broadens our vision. Not only humanity, but all creation is groaning. The whole universe longs for renewal. We see these groanings everywhere. Violence, war, environmental destruction, loneliness, disease, broken relationships. Creation longs for healing because it was made for something better. Yet Paul says creation waits in hope. The resurrection of Jesus to God's promise that renewal has already begun. The new creation has started, even though it's not yet completed. And this brings us beautifully to Jesus' parable. Parable we've heard probably many times. The farmer sows seed, good seed, but an enemy sows weeds. When both begin to grow, the servant asks the opposite question, should we pull up the weeds? But his master says, no. Why? Because in pulling up the weeds, they might destroy the wheat as well. The harvest will come. Judgment belongs to God. This is an important lesson for us as a church. We often want immediate solutions. And that is one of my problems, I have to say, as my wife will tell you. I want everything to happen now. And I'm not very good at being patient. We want clear divisions. Good people over there, bad people over there. Jesus reminds us that life is more complicated than that. The kingdom grows in a world where good and evil exist side by side. Even within ourselves, it's a struggle. Every disciple knows moments of courage and moments of weakness. Every saint has needed grace. Sometimes people misunderstood this parable. Does God simply ignore evil? No, not at all. Jesus makes it very clear that there will be one day a harvest. Justice matters, truth matters. God sees everything. God's patience is an expression of mercy. The delay gives opportunity for repentance. How many people have come to faith because God did not give up on them? How often has God shown patience with us? If God had judged us at our worst moment, where would we be? Instead, it gives us time to turn back. And these two readings together describe the Christian life. We live between resurrection and final glory, between sowing and harvest, between adoption and full inheritance, between today's suffering and tomorrow's joy. That means our calling is neither despair nor complacency. We do not despair because Christ has already won the victory. We do not become complacent because God's kingdom is still growing. So we need to continue planting goodness, speaking truth, showing mercy, seeking justice, praying faithfully, serving joyfully, even when results seem slow. Paul wrote, "In hope we were saved." Hope is not wishful thinking, it's confident, rooted in God's promises. Think of planting a tree. The person planting the tree knows they may never sit beneath the shade, yet they plant it anyway. Christians live like that. We forgive because love will triumph. We care for creation because God intends to renew it. We work for peace because Christ is the Prince of Peace. We remain faithful because the harvest belongs to God. These readings also challenge us to see one another. The servant wanted to identify weeds immediately. Jesus tells them to leave ultimate judgment to God. How often are we tempted to write people off, to decide someone will never change, whatever happens? Yet through Scripture, God continually surprises us. Persecutors become apostles. Tax collectors become evangelists. Sinners become saints. God sees possibilities where we see failures. The church should therefore be a place of patience, grace, and transformation. Not a community that ignores sin, but one that always believes God's mercy can change lives. So, in conclusion, Paul says creation waits with Easter longing. Jesus says the harvest will surely come. These are not contradictory messages. They are the same promise seen from different angles. Until Christ's return, we live as adopted children. We walk by the Spirit. We endure suffering with hope. We trust God's timing. We refuse to give up on people. We continue growing as wheat in the Lord's field. One day the harvest will come. The weeds will no longer choke the wheat. Creation will be set free. The children of God will be revealed in glory. And as Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Until that day, may we remain faithful, hopeful, patient, and full of the Spirit, trusting the Lord who has called us as his beloved children. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Keep us faithful in hope, patient in love, and trusting in your promises until the day we rejoice with you in your eternal kingdom. Amen.
The reading taken from Romans chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation of the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and verses 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear."